Morning. So, by the way, I apologize. Last week, I tried to turn off the recording, and I just shut down the whole meeting. And so, a few of you stuck around. I logged back in, but we're looking at the end of eight. Just to kind of wrap up some of the application part of it. We'll move into nine, and then 10. Those three chapters are together. So Paul is talking about, continues to talk about, you know, giving up our rights, giving up what we, you know, what we deem is important to us when it will affect how others respond to our faith, and especially for people who have strong consciences and weak consciences. And the issue that he's dealing with here was the whether or not to abstain from meat that's been offered to idols. Now, we've talked about the fact that it's not a big issue here in the States. It is still in some parts of the world that have a strong idol worship, and they would offer things like that to their idol, to their god. The problem that we have here is how can the strong not hurt the weak in areas that they are weak? Now, the issue is not whether or not they're offended. Remember, we've got people that are professional weak Christians that love to be offended, and they want to control everyone based upon the fact, well, I'm the weak brother and I might be offended. Offending has got nothing to do with it. Is whether or not what you're doing will cause them to sin. Remember, the issue with sin when it comes to things that are in gray areas of Christianity, you know, we're talking about, it's not a problem. You know, there are certain things we're told are exactly wrong. Thou shalt not kill. Don't commit adultery. You know, don't lie. Those are all, you know, strong. We have strong words on that. But what about taking narcotics that might or might not cause issues? What about drinking to excess? You know, if it tends to bring us to where some people can't control their intake of certain things. What about other areas that we have questions about, where there are people have differing opinions, and both of the, you know, and both sides are really strong Christians? Well, the issue then is if we remember in Romans chapter 14, it says that if we do something in doubt, we do it in sin. So if somebody has a question about whether or not they should do that, whatever that is, if they go ahead and do it, they're taking the chance that they are going to be sinning against God. And God says, don't do it. It's real simple. When in doubt, simply don't. So the issue is the strong person, you know, we have freedom in Christ, but we're told not to treat our freedom as a get out of jail card. We do whatever we want. We're told that we need to be concerned about whether or not we create a stumbling block for others. And again, I would say with that, by that stumbling block, I mean simply this: is what we're doing, will it cause someone to sin as a result if they follow our lead? And remember, in this particular instance, in 1 Corinthians 8, those that are strong in their faith understand that idols are not, they're just simply wood, clay, stone, inanimate objects, that there is no other God other than Yahweh, Jehovah. And so even though it might be offered and it might imbue or be related to or somehow connected to a demonic presence, in a lot of cases, it's not. In some cases, it might be. And if that's the issue, is that doesn't bother them because they already know that there's only one God. And so stuff that's been offered to idols doesn't mean anything to them. For those that have come out of idolatry and are very young in the Lord, potentially, this could be a real problem. This could be, well, it might give them, you know, are we adding back the idea of worship? Because remember, one of the big issues that happened in this particular century is that those that were lower on the economic scale couldn't afford meat on a regular basis. So when you had meat, it was either at a very discounted price because it had been offered in the temple and they couldn't eat it all, or you were having a feast and the temple was throwing the feast and they were including meat that had been offered to their idols. So if you're a person who might be tempted to fall back into that, to say, well, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe in, in the triune God, but I also have no problem adding other gods to my repertoire, you know? And God says, no, there's only one. You can't worship any others other than me. I'm it. And so if that causes a problem, then we're causing that brother to fall into sin. So strong, our issue is don't hurt those who are weak. I told you the instance where we had people we had family members and extended family members that for a while didn't believe in television. So we couldn't have a television going. We'd have it in our room because, well, we weren't going to move it out of the room, but we wouldn't watch it while they were there. And that lasted for them until football season. And all of a sudden, TV became very popular again, for at least the husband. So, but the other side of that is if you're a weaker person, if you are one of those people that have some real questions and you're really concerned, and so you're really towing the mark, don't accuse those that don't agree with you in areas of gray matter that they're sinning. They might not be. If they can do it without in a clear conscience, then they're not sinning. So be careful how we approach things. It's so easy to be legalistic about this and to demand everyone else follow my way. My way is the only right way. So we need to be careful about that, that our behavior does not lead others into sin, and that we have freedom, tolerance, and the issue is going to be dealt with more as we go on later in this chapter. So let's see, is there anything else I need to talk? All right, I think I mentioned moderation. It's hard to talk about moderation when it comes to murder. How do you, I can drink moderately, but can I murder moderately? Okay, in case you were wondering, no, you can't. Okay, can I steal moderately? No, you can't. Can you have extramarital sex moderately? Well, some people might think they can, but no, God says you can't. Okay, a gluttony, same thing. Homosexuality, pretty much not there. God's very clear about those. There are a host of other sins in the Bible that the Bible is very clear about, but there are other things that the Bible is not as clear about. And those we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in each of us. And your path to understanding what that is might be different than my path. All right. So the end of this is we get into like chapter 10, we'll deal with this again. But the issue of this is it something that I'm doing that glorifies God? I'm reminded of Charles Spurgeon, who was an amazing man of God who was called the Prince of Preachers. And he was a Baptist preacher two centuries ago now. And he had no problem smoking cigars. He loved cigars. He only gave them up when he found out that someone had found out his brand of cigars and was advertising that this was the cigar that Spurgeon smoked. But prior to that, he was on a cruise ship one day traveling between continents, and a lady came up to him and she said, "Sir, I just can't understand how you can smoke that vile thing, that cigar," and he took the cigar out of his mouth and said to her their wonderful words, "Like I do everything else, madam, I do it to the glory of God," and put the stogie back in the mouth. I just thought that was a great story. But anyhow, the issue is, can I do this, whatever it is, to the glory of God? Is this what I'm doing going to benefit myself or going to benefit others? And then I should never ask this, how close to the edge of the cliff can I get and not sin, or in this case, not fall off? Instead, maybe what I need to be asking is, what are my motives in the first place for doing whatever this is? What are my motives versus how far can I go?
And if you have a parachute, you can go to the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, and if it's your friend Rick and he has that glider, whatever, that fan on the back of his...
paragliding.
Paragliding, do that too. So again, certain areas of sacrificing to idols becomes more of an issue in Africa, certain parts of Latin America, certain parts of the Asian cultures. Those are issues where it becomes. But some of the other areas that might or might not be an issue, and again, I can't speak directly to this because I've never been involved in this, but as an example, Freemasonry, being a Mason, is it right, is it wrong? My personal thought is probably not the best thing to do, but there are people that are involved in it that I know they're good believers. I think I told you about the church that I candidated at. They wanted me to come and candidate. I did kind of a preliminary meeting with them, had a Q&A time. They thought for some strange reason, I don't know, they were very skittish about things, and they saw I had a signet ring on, which was from my doctoral program. Yeah. And one of the guys, they kept thinking I was involved in, I don't know, astrology is what it was, astrology. And then they also thought I was involved in Masonry. Was I a Freemason? I go, well, isn't that a Masonic ring you have? By that time, I was so done with this church. I was in the aisle, in the center of the aisle, walking up and down, answering questions as people were talking. I pulled off my ring and I flipped it over to the guy. I said, take a look. What does it say? And he goes, says, Institute for Worship Studies. I said, yep, it's my signet ring for my doctoral program. It's not a Masonry ring. I'm so done with him. I left there, and they said to me, they said, I had a phone call from shortly after I left. And they said, the committee has voted 100%. We want to call you to come and candidate officially. And I said, no, thanks. I'm done. I was really fed up with them. So I don't know, maybe I should have gone, but that wasn't the area I thought. But anyhow, those kind of debates, those questionable areas, is a matter of that we need to deal with. And we need to understand there's a difference. Questionable. Is it right for Christians to meditate? Well, yeah, God's word says to. Well, can I meditate secular meditation? Maybe, maybe not. What about transcendental meditation? Well, maybe, maybe. Can I do yoga? Well, maybe, maybe not. How about games of, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons or, you know, games of fantasy? Can I do that? Maybe, maybe not. Those are areas that different Christians are going to have different opinions on, and it's okay to have different opinions. But just because someone differs with you doesn't mean that they're necessarily wrong or that they're necessarily right. Okay. Might be right or wrong for them. Might be exact opposite for you at this point in time. You know, I grew up in a church where, you know, you didn't play with playing cards. So we used rook cards instead. We played all the same games. We just played with rook cards. I don't know. We didn't, we weren't supposed to dance. So you couldn't go to movies, you know, because if you did, you were sinning. You couldn't go to a restaurant that served alcoholic beverages, but it was okay to go to a grocery store that sold it. Really interesting how we played that out in our lives. Is Sunday a day of rest? Or is the Sabbath truly on Saturday? Are we required to have Sabbath rest? What does Sabbath rest look like? According to Hebrews, there is a Sabbath rest we can enter into as believers. But is it a particular day of the week, or is it an attitude and a day that we set aside for rest? All those things have become issues. What about cross-cultural things? Things that are right for in my culture but are wrong in another culture, or vice versa? Well, when I go to another culture, I want to make sure I don't offend them. If I'm going to reach them for the Lord. Okay. If I hammered on that enough?
Yep.
Okay, good. Some of you are tired and can't believe that I keep hammering on it. Okay. Let's take a look at, in the 7 minutes we have left, start looking at chapter 9 just a little bit. So remember, chapter 8 is talking about whether or not I have the freedom to do things, and then whether or not just because I have the freedom to do it, does it mean I should? Now Paul is going to give you an example. And here's his example. This is chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This in my defense to those who sit in judgment against me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to have to take a believing wife along with us, as do other apostles and the Lord's brothers and even Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of its milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Does the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle the ox while it's treading on the grain. Is it about the ox that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us as well, doesn't he? Yes, it was written for us, because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so with the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much of us to reap material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it also, and even more maybe? That's the issue we're talking about, okay? So a couple of things which I find really, really fascinating, because I'll be honest with you, I've read this passage lots and lots of times. I've taught on it once or twice, I'm sure. And here's the thing, I didn't remember that the apostles were traveling with their wives. I thought they were traveling by themselves. Is it interesting? They're traveling with their wives?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking, wow, that makes it even harder. You know, that's a long process to you know, I'm nothing against my wife, but you know, everyone has issues, and my wife, she'd have a hard time traveling with me in some of the places I go. If I had to take her, or if she wanted to come, I'd take her if she wanted to, but so far she keeps telling me no. So, okay. So the issue there is, you know, First Corinthians is a part of the argument that we have in chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. In this one, Paul takes up the idea of the concept of what our rights are. I have rights, but is it okay for me to relinquish my rights for the benefit of others? And when we, as we delve into this chapter more, we're going to find out, yeah, it is. It is right. We're going to find out, by the way, that it's okay for those who, that, you know, Paul ends up being what we call a tent maker. We call that today. And I spent a lot of my time over the years as a tent maker, where I was being paid minuscule and sometimes not being paid at all to work in ministry. Why? Because it was my calling. But by not having to pay me, it allowed for others to be able to do more, to expand the work of the ministry, and for them not to say that I was greedy, that I was trying to take their money, which, again, many secular people think of Christian pastors and especially TV evangelists as just in it for the money, right? We see all the you know, some of them have some really nice cars, clothes, planes, helicopters, as the case may be. And, you know, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have that. I'm just saying that sometimes that looks a little odd. I remember I had a pastor friend who bought a Jaguar for his, as in his ministry. He was driving a Jaguar. He was in a church that virtually anyone who worked in the automotive industry in his church was a GM employee. They were all blue collar. Everybody, the basic majority of the people in the church were all blue collar. And I'm going, don't you think it's a little odd for you to be driving a foreign car and what would appear to be a really, really expensive car? It'd be one thing for you to buy maybe a Cadillac, maybe, you know, but aren't you kind of thumbing your nose at your own people? And that was a, you know, it didn't last very long. He had it for a while and then he got rid of it. But, you know, that's an issue. You know, are we doing something that appears in inappropriately? And even though should pastors have cars?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, they should. Is it okay for them to have a nice car?
Yes.
Sure it is. But if it gives the wrong impression, is it worth having?
Just tell me you're European. Yeah, that's where you drive.
Yeah, I'm European. Yeah. Well, I do have a friend who's a pastor of a church here in the area, and he drives a Mercedes. Now, he drives a used Mercedes. And here's the other thing that's interesting. His Mercedes was owned by a member of the church. And so when they got ready to get rid of it, it's a used car. It's a beautiful car. It's in great condition. But he drives a Mercedes. Everyone in my church knows that I drive this Mercedes, but they know it was so-and-so's before mine. And I just bought it from him. Well, that's probably okay. You know, it's probably not going to cause an issue in the church. And by the way, the church originally was a German church. So, you know, definitely you'd want a Mercedes, you know. But maybe a BMW, maybe an Audi.
But the only reason that's feasible is because you know the backstory. True. Not because. So the perception still is, particularly in this crazy time we live in, the perception is the go-to and everybody assumes.
Yeah, and could be a problem. You're right. Go ahead, Tom.
It's sort of going back to chapter 8. It's like if it makes, you know, other people that don't have the same background information, if it leads them to do something that's improper, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it to begin with.
One of the issues that I brought up with the church that I'm now pastoring, because I have a Lincoln. And, part of it is a result of my dad, you know, that I have the Lincoln. So I said to him at the time, is this going to be a problem? You know, we
really
face it. Well, I wanted to make sure that that everything was out in the open and that there wasn't going to be any illness. No, for them, the issue would have been if I drove a foreign car.
Why?
Because the people in my church work at the automotive industries. They work at Chrysler and Ford.
What are you going to do when you drive that $100,000 Hummer?
I'm not driving one right now. So,
Val's church is located in the belly of the General Motors Tech Center in the more expensive section of Warren.
Well, the average price of our
homes. Both are true, Val.
The average price of our homes.
I grew up in Warren.
I understand, but the average price of our homes immediately around us, about $160,000, $180,000. So, but. Yeah, there are some that are more. Some of the two-story ones are. Yeah, but you're right. For them, they said it's no problem for you to drive a GM, for you to drive a Chrysler, for you to drive a Ford or one of their, you know, extended brands. But we would appreciate it if you didn't drive. I said, okay, that's fine, not a problem. I said, you do realize that some of the foreign cars actually have more American parts on them than American cars?
Yeah, it's all in the badge.
Yeah, that's right. For them, it is. And that's fine. You know, I just want to make sure that they're comfortable with what I'm doing and how I'm doing it so that we don't offend people. You know, and it's a little different, I think, as a pastor. But anyhow, that's the issue is this. And so we're talking about this.
Should we? It starts to stem against, I thought, the true belief of Christianity, which was acceptance and glory to God. You know what I mean? It goes in the direction. It starts to become an issue. You know, you start to like you said, offended for an unknown reason, a reason not God-like.
You're probably not going to cause someone to sin if you drive a foreign car, unless they decide to run into your car.
Well, I mean,
that's true too.
It sounds a little woke.
Region
offended by everything.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, if you were
people were offended region. Before that word was developed, though.
Yeah.
Come on. Get now.
Over it. And, get and, over and, it. And, right? before, and before we named him Karen, too. Yeah. Right.
I mean, you could. Aren't bagels Jewish?
Yeah.
How about donuts?
I like
donuts?
A good schmear with my bagel, and I like a few locks.
Yep. Yep. I was just saying, I mean, if you, let's see,
there
Alabama.
Yes, there is an issue to which you can, you know, I've often said there were people that were upset. So you had some Christians that became, you know, hermits that lived out in the wilderness. And then there were people that were upset because they lived out in the wilderness. You know, there's to some degree, you're right. Some people are going to be offended no matter what you do.
Well, and I think that goes right in line with if you directly versus indirectly help somebody to sin. The indirect is the hard one. You know, if you enable somebody to choose to sin through donation or whatever, I don't know how in the world do you fix that, or can you even fix it? You know what I mean? Like if you hand somebody money and they're going to go drink, or you know, or you help somebody get a car and they turn around and run people down, how are you?
Yeah, I think if you're going to help people like that, you have to be careful. I mean, I did this yesterday. We had someone that came to our church and asked for help financially. And, in doing some investigating with them, I decided that they had done everything they needed to do. They were doing all the things that needed to be done. And this person had been on a waiting list to get Section 8 housing for 5 years, and in come March they were going to be in a house, etc. Some other issues. They just had a run of bad luck. They'd lost a job because they'd been in an accident. And until they were healing, they couldn't work. They were on medical disability, etc., etc. Anyhow, they came to me and said, "I'm paying by the week. I'm paying $260 a week to live in a hotel. I have everything I need for this week, except I'm short $60. I've got a check coming that'll be coming next week that will help me until March, because she's getting a rebate or refund or something on some money she paid to the government. The government says, oh, you overpaid us. Okay. So I went to the board, talked to our guys and said, let's take $60 out of her benevolent fund and pay her bill. But what I did is I didn't go and give it to her. I went to the hotel and said, I understand so-and-so lives in such and such a room, and she has an outstanding balance of another $60 to finish up last week's rent. They go, yeah. I said, well, here's my credit card. Could you put it on my credit card? So then I told the lady that we had done that, and she was very appreciative. But, you know, the issue is I didn't just hand her money. I made that mistake one time when I was in college. I think I've told you this story, and we're kind of at near the end of our time frame. But I had an ACAD student that was we had some high school students that occasionally lived in the dorms with the college students, and I had one in my room, and he was a scholarship student, didn't have a lot of money, needed a book for his study, needed it was going to cost him $50 to buy this book at the bookstore for his class in high school. And he was just in need, and he was, I didn't know how in the world he was going to help it. And I had money when I was in college. I was one of those students that always had money. If I didn't have $100 or $200 in my pocket, I started to worry because I didn't have enough cash on me, you know? So I put a $50 bill in an envelope and wrote his name on it in block letters and stuck it on our door, and thinking, that would take care of the issue. Well, you know what he did with that $50? Took all his buddies to the snack shop, and they blew the 50 bucks on snacks.
Oh.
I had a hard time not saying anything because he wasn't supposed to know that I did it, And I was so ripped at him. I was so ripped. And I swore I'll never help another AKAD student, you know. And I think, well, you know, and then eventually I go, well, really, if I do it, I just need to actually just do it and not give them the opportunity, you know. Anyhow, we'll deal more with this in the coming next week, but we've reached the end of our time frame here. I don't want to keep you guys too long. So I'm going to cut off the recording.